Proverbs 13:24. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Father, we thank you so much that your word goes to every detail of our lives and teaches us all that we need to know in parenting and life, that we might live godly lives and that we might help our children live godly lives. We thank you, God, that you don't leave anything out, that you have instructed us in everything. And Father, we pray that you would come now and send your Spirit upon us to help us hear what we need to hear, God. And we want to be better parents. I pray that every parent wants to be a better parent, that we all have room to grow in every area. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better son, a better brother, a better man, a better Christian. God, we all want to grow. That's a mark of a Christian. We all want to grow. And so, Lord, help us want to grow today. Help us to hear what your word has to say. Apply it, Holy Spirit, in the ways it needs to be applied, and teach us to truly love our children for Jesus' sake. Amen. One popular song repeats the words, "All you need is love. All you need is love." And we heard a very popular, much watched sermon recently. Some of you who watched the royal wedding, about love and the power of love and the wonderful things love does. But anytime you hear someone talk about love, your ears ought to perk up. You ought to get your Bibles out and demand that the person define, what do they mean by love? What is love? And what are loving actions? We must learn what love is by looking to the one who is love. And we learned in 1 John, God is love. And there's only one God, and we have His book. And He instructs us what love is. And this proverb, Proverbs 13:24, tells us that we can know. This proverb tells us how we can know if we truly love our children or whether we actually hate them. Ungodly, godless psychologists, doctors, and others with so much learning have done so many studies to tell you that spanking your children is bad for them and will emotionally scar them and disrupt their lives. To which we say, excuse me? But I know the God who made you, Mr. Doctor. I know the God who gave you your brain. I know the God who upholds your breath by the word of His power. I know the God who made everyone in your studies. I know the God who has all knowledge, who knows me and my child better than you could ever know anything. I know Him. And He has spoken. He has spoken. And He has told me that you, sir, are wrong. Your studies are wrong. Your psychology is wrong. Your learning is wrong. Spanking is illegal in 52 countries in this world. Countries like Greece and Spain and Israel and Ireland and New Zealand and Germany and Congo and Kenya and Costa Rica. And I reached out to pastors and missionaries that I know in these countries and said, what do y'all do? What do you do when God says to do this and man, government, says don't do this? And by and large, the answer was, we do what God says. We do what God says. My brother pastor in Israel, I mean, the Orthodox Jews, they do this, they spank. And so, by and large, Christians do this. They don't publicize it. I asked one brother, well, what, do you preach on this publicly and put your sermons on the internet? And he says, I preach on it publicly, but I won't put that sermon on the internet. And so they do it discreetly and privately, but they, like those in the book of Acts, say, I will obey God rather than man. Brothers and sisters, praise God. Beloved, praise God that spanking is still legal in the country in which we are exiled. But if they make it illegal, we follow God. People make it illegal. Why do they make spanking illegal? Well, they're trying to combat abuse, which is a good thing because abuse is evil and sinful and wrong. But they think they know better than God. Ultimately, they think they know better than God. They think they're being merciful. And that reminded me of Proverbs 12:10. The mercy of the wicked is cruel. I could apply that proverb to so many areas in our modern world. They believe it's love. They believe it's merciful. They believe it's kind. But God says the mercy of the wicked is cruel. It's cruel. When we don't do what Jesus says, even when it comes across as tough love, we are being cruel, no matter how many gushy sentimental feelings we have in our heart. We must follow Jesus to be truly loving. Jesus Christ is king over how we discipline our children. He's king over how we discipline our children. And as we read the Proverbs, we're hearing the earthly king, Solomon, tell his son truths and wisdom and God's truth that he might be prepared to be king. And so here again we come to listen to our king tell us, how should we discipline our children? Because we love them, because we care for them. Children, I hope you listen. I hope you listen to this sermon because this shows you, children, if your mommy and daddy really love you. If they're spanking you, children, that you should, mommy and daddy love me. They're spanking me. I feel so loved. You ought to, children. Because that's what God says. And so, let's look at this proverb together. Point number one, do not spare the rod. Look at Proverbs 13:24. Whoever spares the rod hates his son. What is the rod? What is the rod? Brother Walt Key, wonderful spirit-filled man of God who has a wonderful commentary on the book of Proverbs, he says a rod is a part of a tree from which a staff or a weapon could be made. It's basically a piece of wood. A rod is a piece of wood. I grew up being paddled with a nice board paddle. My mother did, maybe a half an inch thick, but she had holes drilled in it to make it sting more. My mom loved me. A paddle could serve as a rod. Some people use a table tennis paddle or, you know, those little paddles with the rubber ball that you can bounce back and forth. Some parents get one of those paddles and use as a rod. Some parents use a wooden spoon when the children are very little. It could be a literal rod. If you go to Home Depot, you can get these little dowel rods. It could be a rod or my granny, who died at 92, she would say, go get a hickory switch. I heard somebody say that. Go get a switch off the tree. And we would usually go climb the tree to get away from her. But you could use a hickory switch. My stepfather has a funny story about a hickory switch. His mom told him to go get one, and he brought back this little itty-bitty twig. And that made her furious. Furious, she was angry. So he went back and he dragged this big old log. And she laughed so hard she didn't even discipline him. But a rod is a piece of wood that's appropriate for spanking. Some families use a belt. Not necessarily a rod. I have a witness here. Some families use a belt. One of the main points I want to make with this is it's not a hand. It is not a hand. Amen. Not a hand. For two reasons. Well, three reasons. The Bible says a rod, not a hand. But the hand is to be a symbol of love and care and nurturing. Amen. And you ought to use a neutral instrument that is not used to convey love. Like a hand. Your children should not pull away from you. When they see your hands, it should be inviting and loving and caring and nurturing. Don't use your hand. And don't use your hand because your hand will not do the job. It will not produce enough pain on the rear end. So a rod. Don't spare the rod, the Bible says. To who? To his son. Spanking is to be done to a child. A son is referred to in this passage. Several other proverbs speak of the rod, which we'll get to because we're going to go over and over and over these proverbs. Proverbs 22:15, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Proverbs 23:13, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. Look what's at stake here, parents. Life and death. And it goes on. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from hell. Amen. That's what the King James says, Sheol in the ESV. Strike him with the rod and you will save his soul from hell. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. All these verses refer to the rod being applied to a child. So children should be spanked with the rod. The rod should be applied early in life. Friends, the more parents, the more you give to this early in life, the better your teenage years are going to be with them. The more you apply the rod early in life, the easier your life with them is going to be as they grow older. Take time when they're young. You have the opportunity to shake them. So the rod should be applied to young children. Notice this passage says, not to spank your child is to hate your child. If you don't spank your children, then you are hating them. I just deliver the mail. I don't write it. As Dr. Bodie Baucom says, I'm just telling you what God says here. And again, I know you love your children. Maybe you're here this morning and you have always had the philosophy, I'm not a spanking person, I'm a timeout person. And we're going to do discipline, but we're just going to do timeout. I am telling you as your pastor and someone who loves you, you're wrong. You're wrong. The Bible commands this. It's not an option. And the Bible says if you don't do it, you're actually hating your child. You're not setting them up for success in the future. God says you are abusing and neglecting your child and failing to love your child when you fail to use the rod. Whoever spares the rod hates his son. Point number two, be diligent to discipline your children. Look again at the proverb. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. If you love your children, you will discipline them. Discipline is hard. Discipline takes time. Discipline takes effort. Discipline takes planning. Discipline is hard. But you will do it if you love them. You will spank them. Parents, you demonstrate your love for your children when you spank them for disobeying you. And children, this is proof of your parents' love for you when they do spank you. I know it hurts. I remember getting them. And I would never cry in front of my mom. She would spank me. But when I got to my room, I would cry. But I wouldn't cry in front of my mom. I don't know why. It hurts. It's painful. It would have probably been better if I'd cried a little bit because she would have had a little bit more mercy on me. And parents, we need to know children can manipulate you like that. Act like it really hurts when it doesn't. And then they can get off a little bit. Children, this is love. This is love when your parents spank you and you should receive it as such. God says it's loving. God says it's good. One of the booklets that I highly recommend, enjoyed reading this, learned so much, My Toddler Rules the House by Paul and Karen Topgis. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing their last name right, but they say, true love always looks toward the long-term best of the person being loved. True love always, this is so good for so many other areas besides spanking, true love always looks toward the long-term best of the person being loved. That means it is more loving to tell a person truth that hurts than to silently watch him or her self-destruct. Jim Neuhauser writes, Neuhauser, neglect of discipline is among the worst forms of child abuse. Friends, the world tells us that spanking our children is abuse. God says if you don't spank, you're abusing your child. That's child abuse, when you fail to discipline. There are other legitimate ways to discipline your children besides spanking. Withholding privileges, extra chores, grounding. I got grounded. Sentence writing, verbal warnings and corrections, a system in which you reward positive behavior. I would encourage you to use those methods as well, but don't use those methods as replacements for spanking. Don't do it. If you're doing that, you're being disobedient. Spanking should still be done. Waltke writes, loving parents seek to correct the faults of their children because, as earlier Proverbs showed, their children's lives, favor, protection, healing, dignity, and prosperity are at stake. Unloving parents turn their backs on them and hand them over to death and social ruin, public exposure, and calamity and shameful poverty. In short, as these proverbs summarize the matter, loving parents diligently seek their good. Unloving parents show their hate by handing them over to evil. Waltke again writes, and there's so much I could say about this, the failure of the apostate Western world. The Western world, the apostate Western world, who has all their psychologists and all their doctors and all their professors and all their studies, who says God is wrong. The failure of this Western world to continue the biblical practice has left its civilization in moral chaos. And parents hate what they see. His end will be that he will hate his son, for he will see him in the end going forth to evil deeds. Friends, how many children do we see going forth to evil deeds? One of the books I read, 70% of children who grew up in church and the youth group fall away from Christ. 70%! 70% of church kids grow up and walk away from Jesus. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. How should I spank my children? I think the passage seems very clear that we should do this. How should we do this? How should we do this? And I would encourage you to cry out for wisdom here. Cry out for wisdom from God. Lord, show me how to do this. I would encourage you to read. Read. We want to provide you with books to read of parents. I think they had 10 children. These aren't amateurs. These are large family, lots of children, people who read the Bible, know the Bible, who can apply these things. They're practitioners, not just theory knowledge. Read books. We have these. Come and read and ask. I'll give you them. If you can't afford it, we'll get them for you. Read books. Go to parents in this congregation who are older and more experienced than you are and ask. Or maybe they're not older and more experienced than you are, but just it helps to share what you're doing and how you're raising your children. Ask. I need help. I did that for this sermon. I mean, I was reading books of parents who discipline. I asked members of the congregation, what do you do? What should I include in this sermon? Thank you for all of you who gave me feedback, and it was very helpful. I wrote one person that said, well, you're saying what's in the books. You should write a book. So we should ask one another, other parents, and get help. And I put together several little points, practical nuts and bolts, how we should spank our children. Number one, spanking your children should not be abusive. Spanking your children should not be abusive. And I realize the world is just going to say any kind of spanking is abusive, and we just have to say no to that. But friends, there are parents who abuse their children. And it is wicked. and it is evil, and God will judge them. Spanking your children should not be abusive. Spanking should not cause any kind of physical damage to the child. Should not. Should not cause any kind of damage to the child. If it is, you are abusing the child. It should always and only be on the rump. It should not be anywhere else on the body. We don't smack our children. We don't hit them. There's only one place to discipline your children. It is on the rear end, the behind, the rump, the posterior, the buttocks. That's the only place. It's made for that. Got a big old slab of meat right there. It can take a lot of pain and make you feel pain and not hurt the child. That's the only place you should be. Spanking is on the rump. So spanking your children should not be abusive. If you have questions about that, again, talk to some parents. Number two, and they're very connected, you should not spank your children in anger. You should never spank your child in anger. I know sometimes they do things that make you very angry. Because I've had children do things that make me very angry. But wait to spank. Go to your room, or you walk outside. Honey, you sit down right there. Daddy's going to go out for 5 minutes and he'll be back. And you go out and you pray to God to get your heart right, to cool your temper, so that you can go administer discipline in love and compassion and under self-control. We should strive for that, not only in physical discipline, but in the way that we speak to our children. Not ranting and raving. Now, I know sometimes there are times for that when they're running out in the street. You might jerk their shoulder because their life's at stake. But we don't discipline in anger. Cool down and then spank. Number three, though, spanking your children should be painful for them. It should cause pain. Real crying tears. Please don't do this. I hate this. No, no, no. Mommy, daddy, pain. William Farley, in this book, Gospel-Powered Parenting, writes, "There must be a breaking of the child's self-will. When that occurs, the child will no longer be angry with you." If your child is angry, it's not been painful enough. If they're still angry and pouting and mad and being disrespectful and saying things, it ain't been hard enough. Amen. Not painful enough. You break that will. Amen. It should be painful. When that occurs, the child will no longer be angry with you, has taken responsibility for his or her action, has sincerely confessed wrongdoing, and is repentant. It must hurt enough to earn the child's fear and respect. John Wesley said, "Whatever pains it costs, conquer their stubbornness. Break the will. If you would not damn the child, I adjure you, do not neglect this. Do not delay this." Paul and Karen again say, "Do not allow angry crying or screaming." If they're angrily crying and screaming at you, you've not broken the will. Psalm 51:17 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, you will not despise." Next, spank privately. Don't spank in public. Don't humiliate the child. The world thinks it's abuse, and there's no need to complicate matters by doing these things that we know are biblical out in public. There's no need to humiliate the child. Take the child to a private place, wait till you get home, and discipline the child in private. Next, the punishment should fit the crime. The punishment should fit the crime. You don't need to spank for every single offense. Friends, sometimes accidents happen. Sometimes just accidents happen that make you really angry because the child was doing something that just may have been unwise, but it's not. It doesn't merit a spanking. One of the men told a story of actually, I think it was Karen. She talked about her child was helping her to cook, and while she wasn't looking, the child took the flour and was throwing it up all over the living room and getting flour everywhere. And of course, that made her angry. But the child wasn't being defiant. It was just childishness. That's not a time to spank just because it makes you angry and inconveniences you. That's not a reason to spank. Why should you spank? Why should you spank biblically? Number one, for safety issues. And number two, heart issues. When should you spank? Number one, safety issues. Running out in the street. They don't need a warning. You need to talk and have a conversation with them about that so they'll do it the next time. No, they need a spanking because they could die. Amen. Running out in the street. That's no. Don't pass go. Don't collect $200. Spanking. Safety issues. You have to spank. And heart issues. Heart issues. The way Paul and Karen taught this, put it, deliberate disobedience or defiance of a clear and honorable command. So anytime they deliberately disobey something you tell them to do that's an honorable biblical command, that's a spanking issue. That's a heart issue. Or lying. Lying. Stealing. Disrespectful attitudes toward a parent. Or other authority figure. Those are all heart issues where spanking should be applied. Friends, God hates disrespect and disobedience of authority. God hates disrespect and disobedience of authority. Proverbs 30:17. The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. I think God is clear how He feels about the child who disobeys mother. His eyes will be picked out by birds. Amen. Now God takes this seriously. And He expects us to as well. Be clear, consistent, and reasonable about expectations. Be clear, consistent, and reasonable about expectations. Communicate to your children what you expect. You need to have a talk with them. You need to communicate. Listen, God's Word says He hates disrespect and disobedience, and if you do this, this is going to be your end. And because I love you, and because I care about you, if you say no to mommy, you're going to get spanking. If you disrespect mommy, you're going to get a spanking because I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to die. I don't want the birds to pluck your eyeballs out. I don't want that for you, honey. I love you. And God tells me to do this. And so in love, I'm going to do this in these specific situations. So make your expectations clear. Be consistent in how you apply discipline. If you say you're going to do it, do it. And do it for all children the same way. Consistent, clear on expectations. Next, expect first-time obedience and immediate obedience. This one blew my mind. Expect obedience the first time you tell somebody to do something. God doesn't have to tell us things twice. Expect first time and immediate obedience. William Farley in the book, The Gospel Power of Parenting, says this. Pat Fabrizio reminds us that every time your child rebels and you ignore it, you are training your child. If she throws herself on the floor, temper tantrum, and you say, if you don't stop in 3 minutes, I'm going to discipline you, you are training her that a 3 minute temper tantrum is okay. If you say, I'm going to count to five, you are training your child to disobey until you count to five. When your child knows that disrespectful speech is against the rules and you say, if you do that again, I will have to spank you, you are training him that the rules don't matter. He can get away with the first act of rebellion. You're also telling him that rebellion against authority is no big deal. No, tell them once. Don't count to one. If they disobey, apply the rod. I love that. God expects first-time obedience. Don't train them to be disobedient by counting to five. Next, each child will be different with regard to the need for spanking. Each child will be different. William Farley said, some children require five spankings in a lifetime. Some require five in a lifetime. Others, five every morning. Others, five every morning. It's going to be different to the will of the child. It needs to be broken. And so you have to pray for wisdom, discernment on that. Next, keep the gospel central in the discipline of your children. Again, I would point you to this book, Gospel Powered Parenting. We want to apply the gospel to our children over and over and over and over and over and over again. And to do that, we have to know the gospel. Gospel means good news. Gospel means good news, and gospel is the fact that we have all sinned against God. We've all been disobedient children, right? We've all not obeyed the first time. We've not all obeyed immediately. We've not all done what we should. We've not all been the perfect parents. We haven't been the perfect pastor. We haven't been the perfect anything. And we've sinned and broken God's commandments. And for that we deserve His wrath and His justice and mercy. Not in loving discipline, which He does also, but in wrath. And judgment and hell. And the gospel, the good news is, God loves us rebellious children, and so He sent His Son to the world to live a perfectly obedient life, to die on a Roman cross and suffer the wrath of God and rise up on the third day, such that if we turn from our sins and believe in Him, we can be forgiven. We can be saved. We can have the righteousness of Jesus counted as ours by faith alone. And so friend, if you're here this morning and you've not believed that gospel, and I would urge you to come to Christ. If you're here this morning as a parent and you realize, I've hated my child. I hated them growing up, and maybe you even see the fruits of it now. Friends, there's forgiveness. There's forgiveness in the gospel of Jesus by the mercy of Christ. Our sin may be great, but His mercy is more. Come to Christ. Believe on Him and you will be forgiven. And then let the gospel shape how you parent in the future. William Farley writes that the gospel convinced us that indwelling sin was our child's problem. Indwelling sin is the child's problem. It's a heart problem. The heart is sick and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There's a heart problem. And they need to be born again. They need to be born again. That's their greatest need. They need to be saved. They need to be born again. The gospel convinced us that authority is a crucial parental issue. Authority is a crucial parental issue. You are the first taste your children have of what God is like, parents. You're the first taste they have of what God is like and how you use your authority for their good and for the glory of God. Remember Eli's sons. Remember Eli's sons? Eli did not discipline his sons, and therefore God judged him and his sons. The gospel instructed us to pursue our children's hearts rather than their behavior. The gospel instructed us to pursue our children's hearts rather than their behavior. It's a heart problem. It's always most deeply a heart problem. That's why, parents, it's good to ask questions. Why did you do this? What's going on in your heart that you would do this, that you would think this is okay? Why? It's a heart problem. You want to get to the heart. They should confess sin. They should confess sin. Not saying merely, I'm sorry. Friends, when we confess sin, we should say, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry this hurt you. I'm so sorry I disobeyed God. I'm so sorry this caused you pain. But they should also say, will you forgive me? Friends, that goes for children and adults. You should ask the person you sinned against, will you forgive me? And then receive forgiveness. Yes, I forgive you. Your children should confess their sins to God and to you in the process of discipline. If they're unwilling to confess, then you haven't used the rod enough. The gospel motivated us to discipline to preach the gospel to our children. The gospel motivated us to use discipline to preach the gospel to our children. Friends, you want to go over the gospel. When your children sin against you or others, against God, God is always the one they most offend. And they need to be reminded of that. They need to be reminded, unless they repent and believe, that all that awaits them is hell. And call them to trust in Christ, the hell bearer, the sin bearer, the one who took our punishment, that they would believe on Him, go over the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus with them, and remind them that they have a Savior if they cling to Him. And part of that is repentance. Part of that is repentance, a change of heart, a change of attitude, a change of behavior. And if they've done something that needs to be made restitution for, you should make them do that as well. One brother told the story that the child had stolen something from a store. Friends, true repentance isn't just saying, "I'm sorry to God, will you forgive me? I'm sorry to the parents, will you forgive me?" It's going to the store clerk and saying, "I stole this from you. Please forgive me. Here's $5. And that's what this parent made their child do. "I'm a thief, and I stole this, and here's $5. And the store clerk, they said, about cried and looked at the parents like they're crazy. Like, why would you make your child do this? "Because we follow Jesus." Because we follow Jesus. And part of the gospel, the response to the gospel, is repentance. The gospel, they write, motivated us to fear God. The gospel motivated us to fear God. I'll talk about that a little bit more later. And finally, the gospel helped Judy and me, that's his wife, to grow in humility and sincerity. Friends, we have the same heart issues as our children. We have the same sinful, disobedience to God, heart issues as our children. And that ought to humble us. That ought to humble us. We need the gospel just as much as they do. It's a wonderful thing for you parents when you make a mistake to go and ask your children to forgive you, to be humble before them, to confess your sins to them, to ask you to forgive them. That doesn't lose cool points. That doesn't diminish your authority. That is the humble, biblical, godly, right thing to do. The gospel humbles us as parents, knowing we have the same heart issues as our children. What does it look like to apply the gospel in a disciplined situation? I love this story that William Fairley told. He says, "When my son Joseph was about 5, he spilled his milk 3 times during one meal. I was angry and frustrated. I wanted to discipline him, but I didn't." I think this is a good example of a time where you might be frustrated, you might be angry, but it's not a hard issue, so there's not going to be a spanking. "I didn't. His heart was in the right place. He was genuinely trying to please us. The spills were caused by immaturity and awkwardness. Later that evening, however, I asked him to get ready for bed. He pouted and skulked and moped around the house. Here was a heart issue. His demeanor said, 'I'm angry that I must go to bed. I deserve better.' This time I spanked him and held him until he quit crying." That's important. I spanked him, but I held him until he quit crying. You don't just spank and walk away. No, you spank and you hold them. You make sure they know that you love them. I remember seeing a friend of mine discipline his child, and he would take the child so gently, so calmly. "Honey, Daddy loves you, and he cares about you, and that's why he's going to have to do this, and it's going to hurt, but I love you." And he would spank, and the child would cry and cry, and then, "Daddy loves you. Daddy loves you." Hold him until he stops crying. Make sure there's reconciliation. Talk about the gospel of Jesus. Pray with them. And then they run along, happy, reconciled. Peace in the home. And so, held him until he quit crying. After he asked God to forgive him, I went for his heart. "Joseph, what do you really deserve? Do you deserve to stay up late?" He looked down ashamed and didn't answer. The gospel reminds us, he's talking to his son, the gospel reminds us that we all deserve crucifixion. This includes mom and dad and you. Here's the amazing truth. Because God loves you, you are not getting crucifixion. Jesus took your place instead. Tonight, you've got a hot, nutritious dinner, and now you get to sleep between clean, warm sheets. On top of that, God gave you parents who love you. Can you agree that God has given you much better than you deserve? Can you be thankful? By the time I tucked him into bed, he was happy, contented, and very grateful for God's kindness expressed to him through the gospel. Here's the point. Aim your discipline at your child's heart. I used this discipline event to remind Joseph of the gospel. It has great power to change your child. Go to the gospel with them. Hold them till they stop crying. Aim for the heart. What's going on? Remember, cry. You deserve hell, little Johnny. Did you know you deserve hell? Don't shy away from describing hell to your children. A place of burning, of fire, of weeping, of gnashing of teeth, where there is no end. Amen. Like being on fire and burning forever and ever and ever with no relief. Children, that's what we deserve. That's what mommy and daddy deserve for our sin. But Jesus has taken your place. Would you flee to Him? Would you trust Him? Would you cry to Him for mercy? Keep the gospel central. I only have two more. Spank in love. Spank in love. Spank in love. Make sure you're not angry. Make sure you're not flying off the handle. Make sure you're not out of control. Spank in love. And as that example showed, hold the child until they stop crying. Assure them that you're spanking them because you love them and because God commands it and God loves them, that this is what's best for them. Pray with them. Make sure that it ends in a time of reconciliation between them and God and between you and them. And finally, spank because you fear God. Spank because you fear God. Again, another story from this wonderful book, William Farley writes, Kathy spanked her daughter for disobedience, and her daughter's behavior changed. Basically, Kathy was walking away from her mother, and her mom said, come here, and Kathy kept walking away from her mother. You don't do that. You don't say no to mom and dad. A friend of mine who's a pastor now, he was 18 years old, and he was in the house. They were having a family meal. Dad was away, and his mom told him to do something. He was 18. And his mom told him to do something, and he said no. And everybody at the table, it was like, looked at him. What did you say? And at 18 years old, when his daddy got home, he got a spanking. You don't say no to mommy and daddy. You don't say no to mommy and daddy. But Kathy had done that, and so mommy spanked Kathy, and her behavior just changed. I mean, Kathy spanked her daughter, and her behavior changed after the spanking. And William asked her, why did you spank? And Kathy answered, the fear of God. I looked at the cross and saw God's verdict about my child's rebellion. Friends, see how the gospel is so central to even why you spank. I looked at the cross and saw the verdict of God about my child's rebellion. To most, this sin is a small thing, but I know God doesn't see it that way. My daughter's self-will caused Christ's crucifixion. I thought of the price that Jesus paid, and then the price my precious daughter would pay if I did not teach her the humility that produces obedience. And I spanked her. Friends, the fear of God. When you see what Jesus endured for your child's rebellion, when you love Christ, and you know what your child will get unless they repent, and you fear God, you will spank. You will spank. And oh, the price that Jesus did pay. We'll see it this morning, laid out before us. Oh, the price that Jesus did pay. He took the rod of God's justice for us. For parents who are sitting under this sermon thinking, oh, I've messed up. Oh, I've done this. Oh, I've done that. Praise God, Jesus took the price for the punishment that you deserve. The rod of God's justice fell on Him. The rod of God's wrath and fury fell on Jesus. There's no condemnation for you, parent, who trust in Jesus. Isaiah 52, 14 and 53 tells us that He took the rod of God in such a way that He was so disfigured beyond that of any man. And He was marred far beyond human likeness. He took the rod of God's wrath. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the punishment, the chastisement, the discipline that brought us peace. And by His stripes, we are healed. Friends, there's hope in Jesus. Don't go away discouraged. Go away encouraged that we have a Savior, a sin-bearer, a Jesus who never needed the rod of correction because there was nothing to correct. And He did it for us. He did it for sinners like you and me and made us His sons and daughters whom He loves. And God tells us that He disciplines His children too because He loves us. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves. Children, we're following God. God disciplines us believers because He loves us and calls us to discipline our children because we love them. He chastises every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Children, may you be disciplined well in the home and trained in righteousness and holiness. And parents, may we receive God's loving discipline that's painful in our lives and be trained by it. All the while looking to Jesus and remembering Jesus. Jesus needed no rod of correction. He did no wrongs, but lived out perfection. So loved by God, having all His affection, yet for His enemies took God's rejection, crushed death once for all at the resurrection. Now we bow before Him in utter subjection and use the rod to give firm direction. May we do it, beloved, for the glory of our King. Let's pray. Father, thank You for instructing us on what true love is. Father, help us to better understand how to spank. And we pray this little short sermon was helpful. But Father, there's a wealth of literature to be read. There's a wealth of parenting experience to talk with and converse with here in our congregation. We pray that everyone who is struggling, everyone who needs help, Lord, would get the help that they need to discipline according to Your word. Father, we pray again for our children. We know that it is a heart problem, and we pray that they would be born again, that they would trust in Christ, that they would repent of their sins and believe in Him, that they might be obedient. And God, we pray that You would help us rightly administer discipline in a loving and biblical and a godly way, that You might get the glory and our children might know You. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.